Good morning. I know it's cold, but we'll get warmed up in a minute when we get singing. I'm sure we will do. You'll notice that the chairs now have been removed from inside the pews, just inside the pews, and this is to provide a bit more available seating. So you're more or less free to sit where you like now. But we would ask you, please, to maintain your social distancing where appropriate and respect other people's decision to wear a mask and to stay clear. So if you do that, that would be great, but there's more room now for all to sit. For the coming week then, on Wednesday at 8 o'clock, it's our prayer meeting via Zoom. Are you coming in? Morning. I knew it would be you. So, Wednesday at 8 o'clock, it's our prayer meeting via Zoom, and on Friday, it's the Bible study via Zoom. Next Sunday, the 5th of December, is Sunday School Prize Giving, and the church post box will be available, but only for next Sunday, so it's just the one day. So if you've got cards and so on that you want to be delivered and passed on to other people within the church, then please put them in the box. Only local ones, please. A week on Tuesday, that's the 7th of December at 7:30, it's the church members' annual general meeting. And this meeting is open to all, but of course only church members will be allowed to vote. I've been advertising, and so has David been advertising, the Coventry City Mission Giving Tree. It was this weekend when they were hoping to get all the gifts in. But if you've still got a gift that you want to get, if you get it down there for Monday, I'm sure they'll be only too pleased to accept it. The gift needs to be unwrapped. And it's for new toys only, please. And the Coventry City Mission is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. From our exec meeting a couple of weeks ago, a number of roles have become available. So if you're interested in taking on any of those roles, then there's a notice on the notice board. If you're not sure what it entails, please have a word with Stuart and he'll point you in the right direction. And just let him have your name if you want to carry on to do any of those. Last Saturday, we had the Western Reform Union half-yearly meetings here, and as usual, then the union take on a project annually. And this year, their project is Love Russia. That might seem strange, but if you look on the website, which is the website is Love Russia, there's quite a few things on there which the union are supporting. The charity provides support groups for those living in orphanages, Women's and Men's Crisis Centre, two separate centres, support for people who are disabled or who have learning difficulties, emergency homes for young people who are about to leave orphanages, and the aim with the Wesleyan Reform Union is to provide a minibus. Now, somebody in the union has drawn a template of a minibus. It's a cut-out thing, so if you want to do this on Boxing Day afternoon while you're watching The Sound of Music or The Great Escape, it's quite simple to do. There's about half a dozen instructions there, and if you want to put a little box inside to put your coins in there and let me have that, then we can pass that on to the Western Reform Union. But if you want one of these, please come and see me before you go. There's about four wheels and a body to cut out, and you just need a bit of glue or sellotape. But that will enable us to provide some much-needed funds for the Western Reform Union project. David.
Thanks, Barry. not really to add to what Barry said, but just to say, if anyone does want to hand out the leaflets that have been written out for... it's not just Alderman's Green, actually. We have Wood End here, and we have Bell Green. But if anyone wants to hand out, I've not said any particular streets in general. You must be feeling warm today, O'Hee Jane, the t-shirt. Thought I'm being brave up here in a short without a jacket. If you do want to hand out leaflets, please come and see me. There's two people before that did have said to, but if you want to hand them out in your street or drop them into the letterboxes some morning if you're out on a walk, just let me know. I take it if no one lets know today, I'll just go and hand them out along with whoever else has agreed. But if you think there's an area you want to hand them out, they can easily be printed more. They are not yet printed. That's my fault. They will be done as people have helped to kind of orchestrate it and put it together. But if you want to hand out some leaflets, please come and see me after the service. But let us start. As we come on this nice, cold and crisp morning, let us bring our prayers to the Lord. Father, as we come here this morning, we just want to pray and ask, Lord, for your blessing upon this time. Lord, bless those that have taken the time to come out and to gather here. We just pray that you will meet with us. But Lord, not just here, but in churches that are meeting before our time in this local community, for the church that meets in the school just up the road, Lord God, not far from where we are standing, from the many churches throughout Longford and in the city centre and throughout Coventry, Lord. Lord, will you bless them and be with them this morning as they seek to serve, and many of them do a lot in the community surrounding us. Lord, may we also learn from one another of what we can do successfully to the glory of God. May our ear be open to you and our hearts be attentive to your leading. And Lord, may we be open to new ways to, Lord, proclaim the old gospel of an unchanging God and an unchanging message, Lord God, that still saves. Father, we just want to glorify you today. May you bless this time. May it not just be a service that we turn up for out of habit every week, but Lord, a meeting where you will truly come down and meet with us. For this we pray and ask in your mercy, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us rise to sing our first song together. Time of prayer just before then we send the children off to Sunday school. Let us pray together. Father, as we come at this time to you, Lord, we thank you that whether in sickness or health, whether in good times or bad times, that we can come to you, Lord. And Lord, maybe we should come before your throne in good times just as much as when things appear to go wrong. Well, Lord, will you forgive us, Lord God, for our lack of consideration of you. Lord, often when things go good and go our way, that, Lord, you don't hear our voice and you don't have our communion. Lord, often we rush before your throne and call upon your name when things go wrong. Lord, will you forgive us and help us to cultivate that intimacy with you, that, Lord, we share with you in our good times as well as in the hard times that we encounter. And Father, as we do gather here at this time, we want to pray for those who come to this church, and for those especially who have not yet returned, and for those who, for whatever reason, whether age or health, cannot return. Lord, we want to remember, Lord, all of them before you. We think of Megan and Mabel, Lord, and Jesse. Lord, we think of Ernie, and we just want to pray that you will bless them, that you will be with them where they are. We thank you for those around them, for the help that, Lord, they practically give. But, Lord, would you bless and be with them. Lord, we pray that you will be with all those that have not returned to this church for whatever reason. Maybe they've moved on to somewhere else. Maybe, Lord God, they have just drifted away. But, Lord, we just pray, may they not drift far from you. If this church is not to be their home, may they find a place where they will find a home, where they will be built up, where they, Lord, will feel welcomed or will feel a part, or just, Lord, in the place where you would want them to be. Maybe they were only here for a season. And Father, we pray that you'll bless them and be with them. And Father, we want to pray, Lord, for the people outside of our door, for our neighbours, often that we don't even speak to. Maybe those that have moved in that are foreign, that speak a different language to us, or those that have just grown up, we probably knew their parents, and now the children have moved in, but, Lord, that there is not really a relationship with. Lord, no doubt Coventry has gone through many changes as I've spoken to people. Lord, many new faces. Streets don't remain the same, shops don't remain open. But, Lord, in the changes, may we be a blessing to those outside. Lord, may we not just think of what concerns ourselves, but, Lord, how can we serve others, and how can we serve them in your name? How can we reach out to them? Father, will you bless this community, bless the schools, bless the families, especially those struggling hardest. But may it not just simply be a prayer, but, Lord, may you move us from not just praying, which is the real work, but also into practical action. Will you steer us and guide us that we may be your witness in this place? For, Lord, all these things we pray in your name, Jesus. And we pray for the Sunday school as they go out, Lord, to their lesson. Will you bless them? Will you help them? Lord, be with them. May what is taught, Lord, really communicate to the children. May they see you, not just in the lesson, but in the people given the lesson. Lord, oftentimes our witness does not back up what we say from our lips. And for that, Lord, we do ask your forgiveness. But really bless both the teachers and worship warriors, as well as the children that are participating. For this, we ask in your name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, a Sunday school goes outside. Worship warriors, I'm going to have to write that down. I'm so sorry. Worship warriors goes out. We are going to rise to sing our next song. So let us rise to sing our next song.
So
Today's reading will be taken from the book of Psalms, and I'll be reading Psalm 13. Psalm 13. I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's not a big one. It's quite small. But we'll be reading Psalm 13. Beginning from verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Father, may you bless the reading of your precious and holy word. Amen. Amen. Let us rise to sing our next song. Father, as I come to speak your word, I just lift up this sermon to thee, Lord. Lord, I stand to proclaim your truth, and I pray for those who will readily hear and receive what you would have to speak to them, that, Lord, their lives will bear the fruit worthy of your name, that on the day they will stand before you, when the books will open, as it has been said, and they'll be judged by the works that they have done in Christ, the Lord, they will receive from your hand a bountiful reward. Lord, I pray you give each and every one of us hearing hearts, ears to hear. Lord, you said those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Well, Lord, may you give us hearts that both hear and understand. Lord, may you give to each of us, as Paul wrote in Ephesians, a spirit that discerns and understands. Enlighten our eyes that we may see truth from your word, that we may live for you, that begins in our hearts and is shown in our homes, and Lord, as much as in our church family, that will be seen by how we treat one another, but how we live for you. And Lord, we don't have to tell people, but that you will be clearly seen to be forced in our lives. May you have your way, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, you may think Psalm 13 is a rather depressing place to start on the fourth Sunday of Advent as the candle is lighting. But I hope as I go through the message, it will make sense why I've started with this. Because we've come to a time of year that doesn't matter if you're religious or not. Doesn't matter if you're Christian or like to go to church or even celebrate Christmas. You know, as soon as Monica's birthday is over on October the 31st, and all the best people are born, you know that after that, the adverts come. And as the woman said in the range, one time we walked in with, Margaret walked into the range, and she walked in October, and the woman said to her, "Welcome to hell," because when you went in there was skulls and crosses and all sorts of things that you wouldn't expect to see in the shop. And says, "But if you come next week, you'll come to heaven. Because when you go there, you see these lovely globes and everything is sparkling and everything seems warm." And sometimes shops feel like that. You go in October and you're walking into hell. You go there in November, December, and it's like heaven. At least something closer to heaven than you could imagine. But we all know what's happening. And most people, like one of my daughters, the minute it was the first week in January, they're asking, "When is it Christmas again? When can we play Christmas songs again?" And one of them this year was so happy. The minute, at the kind of 31st of October, she followed that pattern, started playing Christmas songs in the house and singing joyfully, much to our joy. But it was certainly better than seeing the adverts that were coming on the TV beforehand with pumpkins and so forth. But you know, some of us think, how long is it going to take, you know, until a year comes? And I don't know about you, I felt like 2020 to 2021, where on earth is that time gone? It's just disappeared. What's happened to the year? We're already coming to Christmas time. But just like this psalm begins, the person writing it asks a question. And they say, "How long, O Lord?" You know, that was a question that many Israelites used when they thought about when was their Messiah going to come. You see, they didn't always hope for this person to come because they had some really great kings. But just like anything in life, good times don't last. And it took them 1,000 years from the promise given to Abraham to have the kingdom promised by God under the reign of David. It took them 1,000 years. You know how long it took them to destroy it and lose it? 500. And they never quite regained it again. But they always had hope. And they asked this question, "How long?" No one had a clue when the Messiah, who was we know as Jesus, was to come. And he wouldn't have been called Jesus, actually, because Jesus is a Greek name. If you mentioned the name Jesus, they wouldn't have known who you were talking about. His name was Joshua. But no one knew when he was going to come. When is this person going to arrive? And we often sing, "O come, Emmanuel." And it has a little bit of a depressing tone to it. But it's about that longing of when he's going to come. And we live in a time when Jesus has come. But could you imagine what the longing was like for them? How long? How long when Israel was in bondage and they were told, "You're going to be there for 400 years. How long do you think when they sat down? Was that a literal 400 years? Is that symbolic? When they told the stories around the campfire, when they made their dinner, when they rested from their walk at night time, when they walked 7 days a week, as would have been common then. There was no such thing as the Sabbath rest until Moses gave them the Sabbath rest by the hand of God. So they walked 7 days a week, and you imagine they would have said, you know, one day God's going to move. One day, but when? How long more? 100 years? 200 years? Who knows? During the period when they were dispersed among the nations and the temple of the Jews was destroyed and they no longer had a king and they didn't even all return after captivity when they could have, the question was asked, how long? And yet this psalm here wasn't written during the captivity. It was written and it's headed by David, that great psalmist and king that fought many of the Lord's battles, led out God's people under God's protection. He writes this. How long? And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter how committed a Christian you are going to go through times when heaven's doors seem to be shut. Just like that. And it seems like times when your prayers are shooting up like arrows straight into God's throne are like hitting an iron heaven. And you are going to go through experiences where the God who seems to be shedding his light upon you seems to have you in darkness. And you ask the question, how long, O Lord? And if you think that I'm making this up, let me read you, not just from David, let me read you examples of this, of men who went through barrenness and loneliness, not just men, but women as well, families, and those who hoped in God. Listen to what Job says. Why do you hide your face from me and consider me as your enemy? All of us who know the book of Job, it's not the happiest book in the Bible, book I quite like. I don't know what that says about my character, but I've always liked the dialogue. And I find it a very interesting book, especially when you see how it ends. Job ends up with twice more children and twice as much wealth by the end of the story as he had at the beginning. And maybe there's a lesson in that. And he wasn't afraid to tell God how he felt, even when he was falsely laying blame at God's door. God's big enough to hear your complaints, but also be big enough to receive his answer, as Job had to be when he spoke to him. But listen to what Psalm 10 says. Why, O Lord, do you stand afar off? Why do you hide in times of trouble? Or listen to what it says in Psalm 35, verse 17. How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue my soul from their ravages, and my precious life from these lions. Listen to another psalm written by the sons of Korah. In Psalm 44 it says, why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and oppression? Or Asaph, who writes in Psalm 79 verse 5, how long, O Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Likewise, we could ponder on Psalm 88 that says this, why, O Lord, do you reject me? Why do you hide your face from me? Or Psalm 89, verse 46. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself? Forever? Will your wrath keep burning like fire? All of these individuals and people felt abandoned. And they felt abandoned not because they rejected God, but because to them, they were obeying him and didn't yet understand why they were going through, where, the reason why, and what was why they went through and experienced what they did. It's a little bit cold up here, so if I fumble my words, that's probably why I'll go for the water. But how long? All of these people followed God. They didn't backslide. They didn't turn away from him. But they asked the question, how long? And I've read most of these, in fact, all of them besides Job, from Psalms. But do you realize that the book of Psalms is a compilation of five books? It's five collections of books, and most of your Bibles will tell you that. It's five collections of books, most of them written by David, some of them written by people we don't even know their name. But all of these are quoted not just from David, from the sons of Asaph, from the sons of Korah, and people that ask the same question at different times, not all in the same time period. They're all experiencing the same things. How long, O Lord, will this situation last? How long? But nevertheless, we need to learn that God has a time, and that is not necessarily the same as our own. There seems to be times where God seems to do nothing. And you'll recognize this when you read the book of Genesis and Exodus. On two occasions we're told that God remembered. We're told it about Noah, we're told it about Sarah when she was promised to have a son, and we're told it in Exodus when the people of Israel were taken out. And it's not that God forgot. I forget many things, and don't just think I do, you do too. You know when we have 7 to 10 extra things to do in a week, if we don't write it down, we very much forget it. It's not to say that God forgot. When it says that God remembered, it means that God's going to act on his promise. And there is a time when God will act on his promise. There's many out there that mock Christianity, and it didn't just happen in our day. It happened in the day of the apostles. And he says, look, where's your God? Where is he? Where has he gone? You don't even have a king. You know, you're living under the rule of the Romans. Where is this great God? Where are all these promises? Where is this great return you're speaking of? You speak of rescue and freedom. Where is it? And Peter says, look, one day in God's presence is as 1,000 years. God's not slack to fulfill his promises. And I often believe that God has not acted in some of the things he said because he still wants to show mercy. God wants more people to come to him despite how dark the world gets, as he said it would get. He waits that more will come to the knowledge of the Savior. But don't ever think that God's not working. He's always at work. There was once a prophet that said to God, why are you looking at all this ungodliness happening in our nation and you're doing nothing? You see, England had a massive empire, just like Babylon and these places, just like Russia and all these empires. But they may have had Christianity as the main religion, but they were not like Israel. Because in Israel, God was their God and their law came straight from God. We may have adopted things from the Bible, but there's no such thing as a Christian nation. It may have been the main religion. If you look at England now, it's not a Christian nation. It's got all sorts of other faiths that are there, not just Muslim and Hindu and Sikh. It's not, Christianity was a dominant religion, but they were not in the same place as Israel was, as they were specifically chosen to follow and had laws given from God that they were to follow. And he says, look at what the nation is doing. The kings, the priests, the prophets. And yet God answered him and says, I'm going to do a work. And this is what I'm going to do. And you're going to see the work I do. And he did see the work he did. And if you read through Habakkuk, it's a tiny book. Come the end of it, there's those words that have always stuck with me. Though the fig tree does not blossom, though there's no cattle in the stall, yet I'm going to praise you. Because God answered him and showed him what he was going to do. When he asked, how long is ungodliness going to triumph? And you may look in the world today and think, what on earth is God doing? Why doesn't he interact? And I guarantee you, God will say the same thing as he did to the psalmist who also complained and says, when I entered into the presence of God, then I saw. And then I realized, and when God answered me, then I can see what God is doing and the reason why he does them. But you know, apart from this, we're told that God does a work in us. Listen to what it says in Philippians. It is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Is God at work in us? Because one evidence is this. This comes into fruit bearing when we talk about fruit bearing. Is our lives producing God's work? Is God producing his work in us? Because it's one thing to believe, but believe should show forth in what we do and how we treat one another and how we act to one another. Do we treat people as God treats us? I wrote down a little plan this week. This is the one thing I've decided I'm going to do. No matter how badly people treat me, I'm going to treat them as I want to be treated. Because this is true. I am not in control of how anyone treats me. I'm not in control of how anyone speaks to me. I'm not in control of any tragedy that happens. But I am in control of how I respond in every situation that life faces me. Because this is going to come to this reality. I'm going to have to stand before God to give an account of how I've treated people. And I'm going to have to say, did my life produce the works? Was the evidence of God at work in me, as it says here? Because there's not going to be any covering up then. I can deceive you, but I'm in control of how I treat you. but you're also in control of how you treat other people. Are we producing the fruit of God in our life? This is a serious question, because not God is not only always at work, he's at work in those who believe. And a tare cannot produce wheat, just like a wheat cannot produce a tare. They both may look the same, but the end result is always the same. Wheat is wheat, tares are tares. A berry bush produces berries. You don't plant cabbage and get spinach. It's one thing or the other. And I guarantee you, when you plant something, you'll have all other stuff come up around it. But God is at work in us, both to will and to work in his good pleasure. I am telling you, you are going to sometimes sense God wants you to do something and you don't know what it is you want to do. Get alone and pray. Seek counsel from your minister. Seek counsel with godly people. I came to a place where I said, God, what is it you want me to do? And when I look back at my time in Ireland, from the time God called me to the time I came here, it was fairly short. But when I think back at my memory, I thought it was an eternity. And I thought, wow, God moved in such a short space of time. And I tell you, I would not have heard the call of God if I was not deeply prayerful and had that godly counsel of godly men and godly women around me. And had that sense of, God, what is it? Because God has something for every one of you. You're not a participator or a spectator that just comes. You are here to participate. You're not there to watch. We're there to do the work of God beyond the Sunday service. But not only this, we're told in Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians. We continually thank God, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you didn't accept it as the word of men, but as the true word of God. The word which is now at work in you who believe. If you want God to work in your life, then accept that word as his word. There's many out there that take a chisel and take the scissors to the Bible. They want to chisel away every little bit of it. They want to reshape the old truths. Or they want to take the scissors and we don't need this and we don't need that. We don't need Genesis. We don't need Genesis chapter 1 to 11. Get rid of that. Well, if you don't have Genesis 1 to 11, none of the rest of it makes sense. If you remove the call of Abraham and call these people myths, and you don't have a Bible. And let's get rid of Revelation. That's too confusing. That's always confused me, because the book of Revelation says this is a revelation given to show you things that are going to come to pass. And let's get rid of prophecy. Let's get rid of the prophets. Let's chop all those out with the scissors. And yet God's given them to us and says, look, when you receive the word of God, both written as well as preached by those that God raises up, and you receive that word and you test that word, then that word will produce something in you. And I've listened to exciting preachers, boring preachers, people that have not much personality. And I'm telling you, there's an evidence that you'll know if a word comes from God. There's something that comes through. I've had men that read their sermons off the piece of paper, never once looked at the audience. And some of those sermons have gone straight to my heart and have never left. That's an evidence sometimes. And sometimes we want to shut our ears from what God has said. And I think I told this story before. I won't say the man, because some of you may have encountered him before. But he used to run out, the minute the sermon was over, he'd pack his Bible, pack his bag, and run out the door. And one time, I deliberately jumped out in front of him in the church to congratulate him. And he shook my hand like that and says, okay, thank you, see you later, boy. And one time, I finally did have a conversation with him. It wasn't in the church. It was somewhere else. And when I had this conversation, I realized he once preached, every time you see an ambulance, say a prayer. And you know, ever since that sermon, every time I see an ambulance's flashing lights, I always say a prayer. I can't help not saying the prayer. And that guy wasn't the most exciting preacher to hear. He wasn't a sparkling, charismatic personality. He didn't have charisma issuing out. He wasn't the person that you think, I want to follow him. But there was something in his message. And when God speaks and when we receive, If you're going to reject any message, make sure you test it first by the Word of God and in prayer. Rather than say, I don't like that. I didn't like that minister. I didn't like what he said. I don't like his accent. I don't like this. I don't agree with that. Go and test it first and ask yourself, if you do resist, why are you resisting? That's the question you need to ask. You see, when this psalmist writes, how long? And when those Israelites asked, how long? We need to ask, you know what, God? What are you doing? Because you're always at work. Right now he's at work. From the beginning of creation he's at work. And no doubt before creation he was at work. We're not told about the angels and their creation. God has only specifically told us about here and life and how it's created. You see, he's always at work. And sometimes there's those times where he doesn't seem to do anything, that sometimes he's doing the most. Jesus himself said, my Father is always working, and so am I. And you know that it says in the Bible that Jesus, even now, is in heaven, interceding for you and for me. You know in the end of the Gospels, Jesus says these words, behold, I am with you always. And he says in John's Gospel, he says, where my servants are, where my disciples who follow me, where I am, there I will be also. Because it's God in you, by his Spirit indwelling you, that both wills us to do his good pleasure, that sends men and women to the mission field and to the darkest places of the world. Do you know in places like in Asia and in Africa are some of the biggest churches in the world right now? In the West, the church is disappearing. In some places, not all places, but if you go there, the churches are flourishing. No doubt they've got their problems. Every church does. But you may ask yourself at this time, Lord, how long? You may be forgiven of looking back at the Bible and thinking, you know what? I wish I was in the days of the apostles. I wish I was in the day when Jesus walked the earth. I would have loved to be there. To see people raised from the dead. The widow get her son back from the coffin. You know, to see Lazarus come forth. See lepers be healed. I would have loved to be there. You know, I would have loved to be there in Elijah's day when he called fire down from heaven. Or the day when the tabernacle was built and the smoke came down and God's glory filled it all. Or to see those great armies that came against the children of Israel, destroyed. Well, I want to put something up on the screen to try and show you something here. And I know it's going to be very hard to see. So my apologies. You can come and look at this at the end if you wish. But God called a man called Abraham. And Abraham is around this section there. There we are. There it is there. From the time of Abraham to the time that Jesus came was 2,000 years. There or thereabout. It was around 2,000 years. If you skip that on a little bit, Nathan, you come to Moses nearly 500 years after that. And then skip it on a little bit more, Nathan. You come to the time of David. You see this? Now, I said this earlier. You'll get this timeline anywhere. From Moses and all of those people, but straight from Abraham, from the time the promises were never made to Noah and such people, about having a king and a kingdom, is 1,000 years between Abraham to David. But from the time of David, after the time of Solomon, the kingdom is split. And you see a rise. Just, you might need to go up a little bit, yeah, can't go anymore. You will see a rise of these people called the prophets. Books of Isaiah, books of Jonah, the book of Ezekiel, all these things, you will see them all the way up. And you will see this at carol services, probably even here, books quoted from Isaiah. Do you know that there's more prophecies spoken about Jesus than anybody else? There's more things said about his birth. Beginning, and there was before, but beginning from the time of the prophets, from Jeremiah, which is about 1,000 years before he came. But do you know that 400 years before Jesus came, there was complete and utter prophetic silence? So for 600 years, you have this real rise. Before the kingdom went into exile, prophets were warning them to return to God, and you had warnings after they came out of exile. In fact, there were more encouragements after, and it was after that time that a hope began to come that we are looking for this king, this Messiah. How long is it going to be? And they went through a period of 400 years. 400 years of hearing nothing. But yet God was at work the whole time. And no doubt, just like when Israel was in captivity, they had a hope. But do you know when God starts to move? See all those prophecies? I can guarantee you there was people that doubted, is this ever going to happen? But I want you to do your own study here. I'm not going to do it for you. Look at the life of Jesus. From the time of his birth, you will begin to see all those prophecies be fulfilled very, very quickly. From the time of his birth, many of those prophecies were fulfilled. And then the sooner or the closer it gets to the cross, even more prophecies begin to fulfill, right down to the letter. The point I'm trying to make is sometimes you think God's not doing anything. But when he begins to act, he begins to act very, very quickly. And those messages that were given over a period of 1,000 years begin to happen in a very short space of time. The only prophecies not yet fulfilled are those that were a future time. And I can guarantee you, when God starts to move, those prophecies will begin to happen in a much closer space of time. And if all of those previous prophecies have been fulfilled, if you were a betting man or woman, you can be certain of this, the ones that are yet to be fulfilled will still come to pass. Because everything that we come to and worship with God, you can be sure that God is going to fulfill his word. And it's just like when we come to the end of Psalm 13. It says this in verse 5. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. If we ask the question, how long? Let us look back and see God's pattern of doing things. And in spite of whatever happens in this world or happens with us, what are you doing with what God has said? See, do you realize you're living in a time where Israel has returned back to its land? They're living in a land that God gave to Abraham and to his descendants after him. If you had came 100 years ago, that would not have been possible. And people were saying, that's never going to happen. That prophecy is never going to be fulfilled. That was just symbolic. That means the church. But they're living back in their land. Do you realize that we're living in days when Bible prophecy is being fulfilled? And it's to your detriment if you ignore it and don't look up to it. Because God's given you a book. He's given us eyes to see. He's given you his spirit. And I want you to not leave this morning thinking, you know what, God's not doing anything. And when you reach that place of silence, God's not at work with me, because God is at work. And may our response be that whether we're going through silence, be just like this psalmist. Doesn't matter what happens, God, I'm going to praise you. Doesn't matter if it seems like nothing is going right with me. May our prayer be like Habakkuk. Doesn't matter if there's no cattle in the stalls. Doesn't matter if my crops don't turn out. Doesn't matter if I lose my job. Doesn't matter if everything's falling apart, God. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be praiseworthy. A 1,000 years are like a day in the Lord's sight. And in closing, I want to say this. For all the great miracles that have ever been done, one of the greatest miracles is that the Son of God left heaven and was born in the womb of a virgin. And not only this, but that he gave his life for me and for you and for all who will believe in him, irrespective of what they've done. That he gave his life and was raised. There's no greater miracle than that Jesus was raised from the dead for you and for me, that we may know and have life to its full. There's salvation in no other name, not Buddha, not Mohammed, not the Virgin Mary, not any other saint or any other Christian, but in Jesus alone. Let us not lose sight of this great miracle of what God has done. Greater than any healing, greater than any deliverance, is the fact that he can deliver you and me and all who call upon his name and turn to him. It says in Psalm 50, call upon me in your time of distress, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. And I pray that you will know, when you call upon his name, his deliverance. And you will not pose the question, how long, Lord? But that you will bask in his presence and enjoy this great salvation that he has made available to us in Christ our Lord. Let us rise to sing our final song together. Just before I do the benediction, I'll just prepare you all that next week will be a family service as well as the week after. So we will be focusing upon our children, and I'll ask you to pray for them during this coming week. Now may the peace of God, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete and every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, may you bless each and every person gathered here today, and those who are not able to make it, Lord, be with them. Bless them, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.